But right now, let's kick things off by hopping on the Tiller and Rye telephone line and connecting with Maine native and the voice of the Baltimore Orioles, Gary Thorne. Hello there, Gary.
How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
Say hi to Petula Clark. She's one of my favorite singers.
She is a sweetheart.
Which kind of dates me, but...
Oh, no, it dates all of us. She's 81, and she's still performing at 81. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
I
ran into her in New York. She was in a play a few years ago.
With David Cassidy.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran into her at a hotel where she was staying. And the club happened to be there. It was like, oh, my God, I am getting old.
Well, she told us a funny story that we left out of the on-air interview about being in Vegas many years ago and running interference between Elvis and Karen Carpenter.
Oh, my God. How about that? Petula Clark, Elvis, and Karen Carpenter.
There you go.
That covers the spectrum right there.
I think so. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Man. Let's talk, first of all, Gary, about baseball losing a real legend this week. Really, not just baseball, but sport in general, America. Yogi Berra, who passed away this week. Mm-hmm. You must have run into him along the way in your travels.
Yeah, actually, quite a bit. Because of the stuff I do at the Hall of Fame each year, Yogi, until the last couple of years, came every year. So I saw him at least once a season there. I always saw him though in Florida for spring training with the Yankees. Torrey always had him there, whether he was actually a coach or not. Yogi was always invited. And generally, when he was feeling well, he showed up, so we'd spend time talking in spring training. And he was a big Devils fan. He loved hockey.
Hmm.
And when I was doing the New Jersey Devils, Yogi lived in New Jersey, and John McMullen, who was the owner of the Devils, they were good friends, and so Yogi came to a lot of games, and he was very serious about hockey. And he'd come up; he had his suite was right underneath a broadcast booth, next level down. So Yogi would come up between periods and say, "Why did I do that? Did you see what I got?" I was like, "Yogi, come on! It isn't even baseball." But he was—I mean, one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. Yogi was just. Everything they say, you know, you get somebody who passes away, and obviously the good things are said. Sometimes some of the other things are left out. Well, there wasn't anything to leave out with Yogi. I mean, everything that people say about him is true. I've never heard anyone who didn't like him. I think it would have been impossible unless you were just evil. He was a wonderful human being.
This weekend, your Orioles and the Red Sox get together, two teams that have had very disappointing seasons. What went wrong for both of these clubs this year?
Well, certainly for the Orioles, starting pitching. I mean, it begins and ends there. We have done repeatedly on the broadcast numbers about comparing last year to this year and the last 2 years to this year and after the All-Star break before and every time. The only thing that's the big variable that's gone way up is the ERA of the starters. Bullpen's been even better than it was last year, which is kind of hard to believe. The offense is there. I mean, the club scores enough runs. They've been up among the leaders in runs all year long. They've been the leader somewhere in the top four in home runs all year long. They've done everything offensively. They're number one in defense again. They play outstanding defense. So it all comes back to starting pitching. They just have not been able to get either the ERAs or the innings out of their starters this year. And, again, here's another overworked bullpen that's been able to suck it up so for the year. I mean, we're there now, so they've done it. But you asked a lot of the bullpen this season, but by the time they get into the game, it was too late. They'd given up five or six runs, and that just killed the Orioles on the season. The Red Sox, I mean, you know better than I do. I mean, we see them 19 times with the Orioles, but it's just kind of confounding. I mean, their pitching, too, and their bullpen in particular ended up being a disaster. And the offense at times, you know, especially early in the year, really struggled. They had a real roller coaster ride, I think, with the offense. It wasn't what they thought it would be. It took Ortiz a while to get going. You had Pedroia out with the injuries. You lost, you know, somewhere along the way, Middleton was supposed to be a big star by now, and here he has gone to the minors or somebody else. So the some of the things they thought would happen offensively didn't. And I think for the Red Sox, more than the Orioles, it was more of an overall overall in the ball club that hurt, whereas the Orioles, it was that pitching.
Gary, will there be some changes in the offseason for the Orioles? I know Dan Duquette had some interest maybe in exploring other jobs, perhaps the Toronto job, and was not allowed to do that. Do you see any changes coming either there or on field?
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I mean, Peter Angelos, the owner of the ball club, made the decision on not letting Duquette go. In hindsight, maybe should have, just to have prevented. You know, every time something happened to the ball club, Dan would get blamed because he wasn't paying attention, because in spring he was looking at somebody else, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's fair, but it was obviously going to happen. When you have somebody who wanted to leave and now he stays in charge, I think Dan does everything he can to make the Orioles a winner. And he's got a contract like Buck does through 18. So is Peter going to be willing to let him go and pay him? Does he change positions? Does Buck Showalter become a GM? I don't know. I think those are all questions being discussed right now, and I don't think anybody, including the owner, has an answer right now.
We're talking with Gary Thorne here on Downtown as we close in on the postseason. Who do you like? Who are the teams to beat in the playoffs in the American League?
Well, I mean, I think there has been a lot of parity. I thought the Cardinals for a while for about three quarters of the season were the best team in baseball. They may still be, but they certainly have come back to the pack here after the All-Star break. Kansas City is a really good team. You have to have a mojo. I mean, there is such a thing in sports, especially in the long season sports, where guys at some point in the season have to believe and have to want to win. And that may sound like, well, everybody does that. Well, everybody doesn't do that. There are clubs that start the season going, oh, my God. They never say it, but they say, oh, my God, we're awful. You know, we're never going to make it. And they don't. And then you get clubs who aren't sure, and they go into the season, and if things turn right and they get some breaks, they start feeling good about themselves. If they don't, then they go, oh, my God, and they're gone. And in order to make it and to be a contender in the end, you have to have the mojo working. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe you are as good a team as the record shows and want to go out and compete for a ring. And once you get into the playoffs, then I think everybody's in, because now you're close enough, you can taste it, you can see it, and everybody's in. And I think Kansas City will be a very tough team. Toronto, with all that horsepower, is going to be interesting. Can a ball club that relies on that much offense win a World Series in a game where when you get to the postseason, generally, it's pitching that wins? I don't know. I think they'll be very tough. I mean, ironically, that one division in the National League, you get the three best teams all in one division. Mm. Somebody's only going to play one game, and another team's only going to go, you know, probably one round. With the Cubs, Pirates, and Cardinals, pretty impressive baseball on all their parts, and I wouldn't want to play the Cubs in the postseason because, I mean, you talk about things rolling, it's rolling. It's been so long. It's like the Red Sox were when they finally got back into it and won that first World Series since 14. That's what's going on with the Cubs. I think they're a very dangerous team. I think they're very good. But I also think they've got the adrenaline working.
Will you be broadcasting in the postseason again this year?
No, I wish we were. The Major League Baseball MLB Network has taken over Major League Baseball International. And so there are lots of changes going on there. They're not going to do a league championship series for a world feed. They're only going to do the World Series, and how they're doing that is unclear at this point. So probably not. But it was a great run. I mean, I had 17 World Series or whatever we did, and it was really a treat. But I think MLB Network's going to use their people out of the studio and stuff to do games.
Somebody asked me this today when they saw that you were going to be on the show. Asked me if you remembered the first play-by-play broadcast you ever did as a young guy back in your WABI days. Because you started,
I do.
What? You were 8 years old, 9 years old when you started?
Six.
Six
or seven.
Prodigy.
Yeah, I do remember. It was in Milo, Maine.
Wow.
It was a high school basketball game with Bob Woodbury, who worked at ABI for a long, long time. Was on television, was Bozo the Clown for a while. Actually, he had that role there. He was also in the front office. He also did sports. And Bob and I did my first broadcast from the balcony of the old gym in Milo, Maine, high school basketball game, and that's where I started.
Wow. Wow. And now here you are on an AM station in Bangor, Maine, all these years later.
As they say, life's a big circle, baby.
Wait, that's my hideous career path right there.
Yeah, but you worked in Augusta. I know that because I was there with you.
Oh, that's right.
One of the thrills of my life.
Yes,
no question about that.
Those stories will go untold, at least on our airwaves.
As all good ones are.
Yes, indeed. Gary, great talking with you. As always,
you too.
We'll catch up again.
All right, anytime.
Thank
you,
Gary. That is a Gary Thorne, voice of the Baltimore Orioles here on Downtown.